Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
When I think of starting this new year and this new decade, there's a lot of things you can look at, look towards, fix your eyes on, in fact. Had this thought earlier in this week, this thought of coming back to communion. Coming back to communion. And call it a time of reflection, or call it a sealer moment for yourself. Call it a time to pause, reflect. Call it a time to calibrate the busyness of our lives. Call it a time to sit and be still, whatever you want to call it, whatever communion means and looks like to you. Quite simply, it's a time where we get to be honest with ourselves and reflect upon the simplicity of the gospel. And one of the things I love about the gospel is the simplicity of the story of Jesus Christ. The simplicity of the gospel boils down to this in the communion moment, that Jesus loved you so that he gave his life for you. That in his death and resurrection, there was a new covenant. That as we come around communion, we reflect not just on what Jesus did for us on that cross and what he accomplished by dying and rising again, but we reflect on our own lives. We take a second to pause and really look inwardly. I think Paul knew this. I think when the early church started and grew so quickly and the Holy Spirit was left, Jesus ascended to heaven. The early church is being birthed, and Paul has to set some foundations. And he writes to the church of Corinth. And he pens this letter in 1 Corinthians. He says, friends, let me go over with you again what happened at the Lord's Supper. I need to let you know why it was so pivotal. I need to let you know why it was so centrally important. That the Master Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, he took bread, having given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body broken for you. Do this to remember me. And after supper, he did the same thing with the cup. This is my blood. This is a new covenant for you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me. What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread, every time you drink this cup, you reenact, in your words, the actions, the death of the Master. I love this part. You'll be drawn back to this meal again and again. And again and again and again and again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. He goes on to say, if you give no thought about the broken body of the Master when you eat and drink, you're running the risk of serious consequences. And Paul uses this harsh language, and this is from the Message translation. That's why so many of you, even now, are listless and sick, and others have gone to the grave early. If we get this foundation straight now, we won't have to be straightened out later on. Better to be confronted by the Master now than face a fiery confrontation later on. I'm told of this word, communion, by Strong's Concordance. Koinonia, this Greek word, and it means this, what is shared in common as the basis of fellowship, the basis of partnership, the basis of community. I think that's why Paul uses some of his most strongest language when addressing communion. It's because he knows how central this is to our Christian faith. It is the basis of our fellowship. It is the basis of our community. It's why we do what we do. It's the basis that you find yourself sitting in a seat right now in this church. It's the basis of where you have come from. It is the central nature of your soul, that you in all of your so-called goodness, that me in all of my so-called amazingness and right, so-called right standing, even though I didn't know, I thought I was doing right, that the beauty of this communion is that in spite of everything that we thought we were good at, it still wasn't enough. It still fell short. And Jesus said, you know what? That's okay. I'll come anyway. That's okay. I see you anyway. And even though you might keep making those mistakes and keep falling short in future, I see you anyway. It's crazy. This perpetual righteousness that Jesus says, you know what? Every time you fall short, I still got you because of what I did on that cross. You're still righteous. The Bible says that for the unrighteous, Jesus became righteous. So easy to come to communion and maybe take. It's hard to make a deposit. Because communion is this time of divine exchange. You actually have to give up something. You actually have to come into something. And I don't know what 2020 looks like for you. I don't know where it's filled with hopes and dreams and maybe fears of the unknown. Maybe trepidation in what you have to do or what you have to see or what's going on in your family. I don't know, but at times it can be easy to come into communion and say, God, I'm here for the healing of health, and God, I'm here for the financial breakthrough, and God, I'm here for the blessing of my family, and God, I'm here so that I can see my spouse, and I'm here so that I can get those good grades. And you need to know that while all of those things are not wrong per se, because there's promises in the Bible for you to receive it, coming to communion is actually coming to a place of divine exchange. It's an act of participation. Anyone can participate in communion, but I don't think that's what God wants. God's after that act of participation where he says, hey, you want to come? You want to remember what I did for you? I'll give you everything that I have to offer and so much more. But you give me all your hopes. You give me all your fears, all your dreams, everything you've wrestled with the last year and the years before, everything that you've held in that secret place that no one's seen, not even your partner, not even your family, every hope, every dream, every desire you thought was burned down, everything that you have never let me touch before. And if you want everything that I have, if you want to truly remember me, then you better give me everything that you have. Maybe that's why Paul says you must solemnly realize that every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you reenact in your words the actions and death of the master. You must be drawn back to this meal again and again and again and again and again until the master returns. Because in our human nature, which is so fickle, it's easy to walk away from moments or to treat communion like just some sort of Sunday experience that you have. But Jesus says, hey, it's the basis of community. It's the basis of fellowship. It's why we exist. I think when we come back to communion at times, like I said before, we can have these beliefs that we hold on to. Gareth is healing my portion in this time of communion where I remember the cost of what Jesus did and his broken body represented in that bread and his blood that was spilled for the new covenant and that juice, that wine that we have, absolutely. Gareth, is it true that because of what Jesus did, my sin is separated as far as the east is from the west? Absolutely, friend. Is it true that because of what Jesus did, now there is a new covenant, that I have access to every single promise that is made in the Bible, that I have access to life and in its fullest, in abundance? Absolutely, friend. But as we look forward, we look back to Calvary and we look back to that resurrection. We look back at the one who gave it all. Coming back to communion reminds us to seek the promise giver, not just the promises given. reminds us to seek the promise giver, not just the promises given. Communion, in many ways, is just our act of worship. In fact, it's the basis of our worship. Paul says you can be familiar with it, but don't treat it with contempt. And I want to say something in this room. You can be familiar with communion, absolutely. You can be familiar with the presence of God. You can be familiar with His voice. You can be familiar with the Holy Spirit. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being familiar, because that just means that it has become the ordinary life you live. It's become the new normal. Paul says there's nothing wrong with being familiar. The issue is when you treat it with contempt. Maybe that's why when Abraham got a promise every time God gave him, and Abraham walked through his life hearing from God, hearing promises given, hearing His voice, being around Him, and he had these amazing divine experiences. Maybe that's why every time God spoke to Abraham, he looked around, saw where he was. This is the place. God, I know you gave me a promise that right now that my descendants will inhabit this land, and it looks like the Canaanites are over it, but God says this is where your people will one day live. And he says, thank you, God. Where am I? I've got to do something. So he builds an altar. God gives him another promise. He says, I'll build an altar, because God, I don't ever want to treat with content, because I'm familiar with your voice. I don't want to ever come to moments like these where you are imparting, there is an exchange, where there is communion, and I get to be in right standing with you, and I get to speak and I get to listen. I don't ever want to be content, even though I'm familiar with what's happening right now. Communion is two things. It's remembrance, being reminded. That's why Jesus said it twice, double emphasis. Hey, when you take this bread, remember. Remember. Remember what? Remember that it was you that was meant to be up there. Remember. Remember what? Remember that I'm doing this to purchase your freedom. My body broken so that yours could be made whole. My body pierced so that you could have life and have it in abundance. He says, and when you take this juice, when you take this cup, when you understand what it represents, know that there's a new covenant. Remember this. Tell your soul to remember this every single day. Come back again and again and again, because you'll walk away at times, but tell yourself, soul, turn around, go back, come back to communion, remember. So I know it's been a hard week, and I know you feel like you don't need to, but turn around, come back to communion. I know you feel like this illness or this sickness or this situation or this mountain that you're facing, it's pulling you away, but turn around, come back to communion. Remind my soul, remember this, remember. And if remembering is bringing something to the forefront of your heart and your mind, I think that the second part of communion is proclaiming. That's why we worship. It's why I'll, to be honest, never care if I rock up to church and there's no band and power's out, whatever. It doesn't matter. I, if I'm being honest with you, best worship I've ever had is by myself. It's a proclamation. Because if you understand, if you recognize just how beautiful that divine exchange is, what Jesus actually did for you, what He actually purchased for you. If you were looking forward to 2020 to look, how do I centralize, how do I put in place a sure foundation for the year ahead, it would be by remembering what Jesus did, but proclaiming. That's why we gather together corporately. Because if something is good, if it's relevant to yourself and your neighbor, if it's something worth celebrating, you'll proclaim it. You'll tell others about it. You lift your hands and worship. I don't care who's around me, God. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you saved a sinner like me. God, where would I be without you? Jesus, where would I be without what you did for me on that cross at Calvary? And even though this week I felt like I've never been further away, thank you that because of what you did, I'm right where I need to be. I'm as close to the Father as I need to be. Coming back to communion is, it's the ultimate change catalyst for your life. The ultimate change catalyst for your life. I love a New Year's resolution. I love, you know, when the clock ticks over and a brand new year and a fresh start. I get it. Sometimes it's easy to be caught up in that hype, and it's okay. It's great to have goals, and it's actually great to have dreams and what you want to accomplish for the next year. But all time does is adds to the aging process of many living organisms. Time by itself doesn't change your nature. In fact, all time does is make you more of what you already are. Coming back to communion is the ultimate change catalyst. Because some 2,000 years ago, on that cross, absolutely everything changed for humanity. Absolutely everything changed for humanity when that dead body rose from the grave some 3 days. Absolutely everything changed in that moment. It was the ultimate change catalyst, because here's the thing, you can't truly and honestly reflect on communion without being changed yourself. You can't truly reflect on communion without really reflecting on your own life. Communion, I've seen the most hardest of people break down. I've seen healings and seen people's visions and dreams be reaffirmed by the Holy Spirit. I've seen God do absolutely incredible things. Why? Because in those moments, it's change catalyst moments. It's understanding that what Jesus did wasn't just some event some 2,000 years ago. It was an inner reality that we all get to experience each and every day. And lastly, I think communion is our starting point for gratitude. It's our starting point for gratitude. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for Jesus. I'm grateful that he, you know, Paul says, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about Jesus. So I'm going to boast for a second because I'm grateful. Because I don't know about you, but I can't even imagine where I'd be without Jesus. I don't know where I'd be without Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I have breath in my body right now. I have lungs, and while I've got breath, I'm grateful because I get an opportunity to worship. And as long as there's breath in my lungs, I've got to do it, because I can't let some rocks cry out because I won't praise God. I'm grateful. And I think in 2020, God's after a church that will bring to remembrance truly what our Christian nature is all about, and that's Jesus Christ dying, rising again. The simplicity, the beauty of the gospel found in Jesus dying and rising again. A church that brings to remembrance each and every day by coming back again and again and again, but a church that also knows the power of proclaiming it again and again and again. Come back to communion. Every head bowed, eyes closed. My time's up. And with every head bowed and eyes closed, sir, madam, that message spoke to you, and you're saying, Gaz, 2019's been rough. And what you were saying, those words, you were talking about a Savior who would die for me, who, even though I was unrighteous, he made me righteous. What does that mean? It means that you were made to be in right standing with God, that you had sin, that you had stuff in your life that was meant to separate you from God. But God says, I'll send my best. I'll send Jesus Christ, my Son, fully man, fully God, to take your place, to pay a cost that you should have paid. But I love you so much that I've given my best so that you could be in right standing with me. And if you say, Gareth, I want to know this love. I want to know this Savior who's so real and cares so much for me. I'm going to count to three, give you the opportunity to lift your hand up nice and high. Every head bowed, eyes closed all across this room. Christians, would you pray with me? Need to understand the love of the Father is so great. It's not just a distant story, but an inner reality for yourself, for so many people in this room. And if that's you, you say, Gareth, my heart's beating. I don't know what this experience is, friend. That's the Holy Spirit beginning to knock on your heart, begin to speak to you, begin to minister to you. One, two, don't let this friend, don't let this moment pass you by, friend. And if that's you, three, just looking around, just lift your hands up nice and high. Say, Gareth, I want to be in relationship with Jesus. I want to come back. Fantastic. I see that hand. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just a few more seconds. Thank you, God. Fantastic. I see that hand as well. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. For those two people, we're going to say a prayer right now. Would you keep your eyes closed and your head bowed all across this place? And would you repeat these words after me? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me.
Die for me.
For taking my place.
My place.
On that cross. Father, forgive me of my sins.
My sins.
I call you my Lord and my Savior. From this day on, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, would you stand to your feet all across this place?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.